Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to talk about new hunters in the outdoors, women in the outdoors, and also Audubon, Minnesota, all in one with Ashley Peters. She's been all over the place lately. She's going to join us on the show here later in the show. Also talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism and Curtis Blake, who's in a snow bear on Devil's Lake right now, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. This week's show brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book your trip to Devil's Lake at haybaleheights.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com to plan your late winter, spring trip, summer trip, whatever. The Deer and Turkey Classic with Outdoor News is coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds. I'll be out there Saturday, March 9th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Outdoor News booth. Come by and see me. Say hi. I'll hand out some pictures of this white deer. It's pretty cool. So stop by the booth to pick one up for free. Next weekend, I'll be at the Wild Sheep Foundation banquet and fundraiser. That's at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest of Minnetonka. There's a lot of M words in there. Sometimes I mix them up. That's Friday and Saturday as they try to put more sheep on the mountain, keep more sheep on the mountain, and also by the greatest television show in the history of television, Prairie Sportsman. I'm slightly biased. That returns to Pioneer Public TV March 24th. We're doing the pledge drive right now. So as a matter of fact, next Wednesday night on Pioneer Public TV, I'm going to be hosting live Alone in the Wilderness Part 2 with Dick Prenicke. If you don't know the story of Dick Prenicke and the house he built in the Alaskan wilderness, watch it on Pioneer Public Television this Wednesday night and help us raise some money to support your favorite television show, Prairie Sportsman. All right, it's nearing the end, but it's not over yet. Mother Nature decided we wanted to have a little bit more ice fishing this winter. And with all the snow we're having, I know a lot of guys, myself included, haven't gone out and ice fished as much as we wanted to, despite these colder conditions because of all the snow out there. So what I need to do is get up to Devil's Lake and check in with Lucas Mertens and Curtis Blake. Curtis is out in one of the snow bears right now. Curtis, how are things going up there, man?
Oh, it's going good, Brett. It's going real good. Of course, it's going to be hard to get you out here with all that busy stuff on your schedule you got there, buddy.
I know. Well, you know, normally I know you guys go around to the middle of March. You're going to go a little bit longer this year, so hopefully maybe we can try to connect before March is over. I'm going to try to get away, but it is an absolutely busy month because, the Northwest Sports Show is coming up yet this month, and I'm going to try to get up to Superior to try to do some lake trout fishing yet. I'm going to be traveling all over the place, but I'm still keeping a couple of days open to get up there to Devil's Lake. And by all accounts, fishing has been pretty good. Sounds like you guys got some walleyes this morning.
Yeah, we did some walleyes this morning. Had a pretty good bite for the first hour or so. It was really nice sunrise. You know, it almost works out perfectly when that sun is clear, or the sky is clear, the sun comes out, those walleyes just turn on, like switch. We were catching quite a few of them. And then all of a sudden, the little ones disappeared, and we had a couple of huge marks down there, and we ended up pulling in a couple of very, very nice pike, 35, 36 inchers.
Oof.
That'll taste really good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I have fished with you guys out of the snow bears up there a couple of years ago, and those pike, it's kind of like a bonus. You know, sometimes you're like, man, where did all the fish go? And then all of a sudden you hear someone's reel start squealing, and as line's pulling out and the drag's working overtime, and you pull in some mid 30 inch pike, and that's just kind of a bonus fish up there, but they're all over the place, Curtis.
They really are. They are a great fish. You get a lot of guys that don't fish them, like us, especially at Haybale. You know, we have the ability to go and target pike, but what happens is so many people are more interested in the walleyes and the perch. A lot to do with the myth that pike are harder to deal with, harder to clean, more bony. But really, if you have a guy that knows what he's doing or know what you're doing yourself, the pike can be one of the most fun species to chase out here because there is an abundance of them. They're very, very healthy. And they actually taste very good out here in Devil's Lake.
Yeah, pike are delicious. It's a delicious meat. It's that perception of that Y bone, and really once you figure it out, it's pretty easy to deal with those Y bones and clean up those northern pike. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it can be.
It's fun too to catch 20 perch, put them in a pail, and have a nice fish fry too.
Well, and that's what we like to do. I mean, that's, we don't get to catch the perch in the summertime, unfortunately. It's only pretty much a wintertime bite for the perch. So as long as we can, we like to target that with our clients. There are some guides right now. Some of my buddies are actually on the other end of the lake, and they're doing nothing but pike fish. It's been, like we talked about last week, you know, there's been a couple lulls in the perch bite, a little tougher getting around searching because of all that snow. Of course, we don't have that problem in the snow bear because the snow bears are perfect when you have a bunch of snow. But those guys are over there on the west side of the lake, and they're chasing a lot of pike and having a lot of success. You know, the pike are getting active. They're getting ready to spawn. The perch should start putting on the feedback. We had an absolutely amazing day yesterday. We're kind of starting off right there where we left yesterday, and we're seeing some fish, but we had a little bit of fog, so it's making the bite a little bit slower to start this morning. Still pulling in a few, but just kind of waiting for that that magic hour to come along where the perch really start their frenzy.
Curtis Blake, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's in a snow bear on Devil's Lake right now with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. It is getting to be that time of year where people start throwing out tip-ups for pike, kind of that late ice. But it doesn't feel like it's late ice, you know, or late winter, Curtis.
No, it feels like it's February right now, middle of February, if that. Yeah. But it is, like you said, it is fast approaching. As much as we want to say, oh, it's going to keep going. Yep, there's fish coming in. As much as we want to say it's going to keep going, eventually it will come to an end. All good things come to an end. We have a couple dates coming up. March 15th means that all the permanent houses have to be pulled off of Devil's Lake. I know it's a similar day around Minnesota, Wisconsin areas too. Everybody's got their closing dates. Out here in North Dakota, our seasons doesn't close. We always keep going. And I think with this late winter, we will see fishing into the middle of April.
Yeah.
As long as we don't see that 60, 70 degree temp come sneaking in out of nowhere. But I don't foresee that happening too fast.
Yeah, it sounds
so
like
we should get quite a good time left.
Sounds like some 30s and some mid 30s are coming in the next week or two, and it's going to be pretty consistent. But you know as well as I do, living up there in North Dakota, we kind of hope for a slow melt. You know, if nothing else, for people that live along rivers and lakes and farm fields and things that flood easily. So hopefully we get that slow melt. And Curtis, if people want to come up there and fish with you guys, what should they do to book a trip?
Well, you can get a hold of us right online, www.haybaleheights.com. A lot of our information right on there, phone numbers to call. You can follow us on Facebook. We put a lot of our posts on there showing pictures of what we're catching, what we're seeing out here almost every single day. And you guys, if you're looking to get into a trip, you know, a snow bear is a great way to get out and do it. Come and see us.
Absolutely. Curtis, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yep, thank you. You have a fun week, buddy.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Ashley Peters, and we'll check in with Joe Henry next on Sporting Journal Radio.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more. The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt,
fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network. Our guest now, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism, who is having a month like me, just a lot of travel. It's that busy showtime season. And what, you're in Sioux Falls this weekend, Joe?
I need to become a pilot.
Yeah, right.
Yes, I'm in Sioux Falls this weekend for the Sioux Empire Sportsman Show.
All right. And then, so you're doing some seminars telling people how to catch some walleyes there?
Well, you know, I'm trying to tell them how to catch some walleyes, but you know how it is. You know, I'll tell you what, Brett, as you've been around the fishing industry for a while, you realize that, you know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And, yeah. You know, really, you know, honestly, being very candid and, you know, also being very humbled. And, you know, as you go through your life as an angler, you realize that there's certain techniques, in many cases, certain nuances to techniques that really make the difference when either tournament fishing or guiding or even just fun fishing and having success. And, you know, what I've done is I've created a couple of seminars. One of them is, you know, crawler harnesses A to Z, and I really break apart fishing crawler harnesses wherever you might fish. Doesn't have to be Lake of the Woods or the Rainy River, anywhere. And man, there are some nuances that, you know, if you learn how to use that technique, which isn't very complicated once you get it down, it is so effective. And the other one is, you know, top tactics for walleye success. And, you know, there again, we're talking about the nuances to a few different common walleye techniques that make all the difference in the world. So been receiving really, you know, really nice compliments on the seminars, and you know, it's about giving back, right?
One of the biggest tips you always give me, Joe, about catching big walleyes is being on a lake where big walleyes exist. Yeah. And Lake of the Woods is one of those lakes.
Well, you know, I'm not a real smart guy, but I do let the numbers work for me. And, you know, if you ever see me holding a big walleye, tell you what, it sure helps that I fish the, you know, the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods, because, you know, and all kidding aside, you know, one of the reasons Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world is because not only do we fish 12 months out of the year, you know, we have those big fish, and that comes from, number one, having that big fish gene in our system. Number two, having a lot of water that they can make it through times where there's low forage, because there's so many forage bases to pick it up. You know, and the other thing is having tulipies in our system. You know, when those walleyes get to be about 25 inches or 5 pounds, a lot of times their diet will shift and they'll focus on tulipies. By eating those high oil protein fish, you know what, that gets them big fast.
Well, Lake of the Woods is, I mean, obviously a place to go fish right now, but you're going to be up there for a couple of other events coming up here soon.
Yeah, we got a busy week ahead of us. You know, we're hosting the USA Plowing Association annual meeting. And, you know, many of your listeners may have heard that Lake of the Woods is hosting Labor Day week in 2019. This year, we're hosting the World Plowing Contest with 32 countries coming to Lake of the Woods. You know, I say plowing, you know, they use a two bottom mold bore plow, and they plow soil. And there's very, very technical on depth of furrow, how clean they turn the soil over, weed control, and about a dozen other things I don't truly understand because I haven't done it. But I can tell you this is that it's so serious that many of these competitors coming from Europe will be shipping their tractors and their plows across the ocean. Well, you know, we're having a community meeting on Wednesday night, March 13th at the Border View Lodge at 7 o'clock, and it's open to the public. But, you know, we have the USA Plowing Association up, and it's a great opportunity to learn more about, you know, the competition, how things are going to shake out, how the fields are laid out. Certainly there's sponsorship opportunities, Brett. You know, this is drawing thousands and thousands of eyeballs before the competition even begins. And then during the contest, there'll be thousands that attend. And this is a very influential farming and agricultural crowd. So we have booths, we have a commemorative ad in our commemorative program, and even just sponsorship packages. And of course, volunteering. I mean, we need volunteers. We're a small area, and this is a a huge, huge feat we're pulling off. So if anybody would be interested in, you know, volunteering and rubbing elbows with people from across the world, this would be a fun opportunity.
Learn more.
You know, the other venue, and that's Labor Day weekend, you know, of this year. But then, you know, you mentioned the other event, and Brett, we're hosting the Ice Team University by Clam. It's going to be at Arneson's Rocky Point next weekend. And, you know, it's a neat event where Clam and Ice Team bring together a whole bunch of pros, and then people that participate will come in, and they'll have an opportunity to fish elbow to elbow with some of the pros. And they fish all day for a couple of days, and then they come in and have dinner and a couple Coca-Colas at night. And then in the evening, the pros will give informational seminars. So it's really a fun weekend of learning, fishing, you know, et cetera. And it travels to a different body of water each year.
And that's sold out this year, but obviously, so it won't be at Lake of the Woods next year.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, that should be pretty fun up there. And I know there's a lot of snow on lakes all over the place, but I'm guessing fishing is still going pretty well up there for guys that are getting out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have snow, certainly, but we also have an incredible infrastructure of resorts. And between plowing ice roads and having track vehicles that go over the top of that snow and having trails be done, we've been ice fishing full. It hasn't stopped us a bit. And you know what? We're catching a lot of walleyes, a lot of saugers. The big pike are starting to kick in because those days are getting longer. You know, we're known for our trophy pike up at Lake of the Woods, and people are starting to get them on tip up. So yeah, it's ice fishing's on full bore. There's openings if people want to come up in March to catch walleye, saugers, or pike. You know, get a hold of us at our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You know, I should mention too, Brett, you know, people don't realize this because, you know, if you turn the news on, they talk about ice fishing's over and fish houses have to be off the lake. You know, they always forget that asterisk called border waters in Lake of the Woods. And, you know, our fish houses are going to be out through March 31st. Walleyes are open through April 14th. Pike never close.
Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about conservation, a little bit about introducing new people to the outdoors, and also talk about one of the fastest growing segments of the outdoors, and that's women who are taking part in hunting and fishing and outdoor activities. And Ashley Peters is going to join us right now. She's the communications manager for Audubon, Minnesota. She's a conservationist. She just started hunting and fishing a few years ago. She's camped for a year in Alaska. I mean, there's definitely some stories that I want to find out about that we're going to hear this week on the show. And she joins us right now on the radio show. Thanks for being on the program with us, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Happy to be here.
I also want to talk about birds and beers, and we can talk a little bit more about what birds and beer is later. But real quick, you've got an event coming up at the end of February.
Yeah, that's right. And you can find more about it on our Facebook page. Occasionally there are some changes, but just go there to find out where and when, and we love having new people.
It's Birds and Beer St. Paul on Facebook. So first of all, let's talk about it. We were just talking off the air. You said in 2016 at the Governor's Pheasant Opener, that was your first time hunting. So how did you get introduced to the outdoors? Let's start there.
Yeah. I mean, I think as anybody does, it happens a little bit gradually. I grew up in Iowa, so I did a lot of detasseling in high school and, you know, ran track and field. So we did that in all weather. So all of those things kind of build up. And then right after college, I got a job up in Alaska building trails. And that kind of put me in the deep end, you know, going up there and camping for the better part of a year and traveling around. You know, I had to learn how to chainsaw and how to work with, you know, a group of people that came from all different parts of the country. So it was a really great experience. It was really hard at times, but I learned a lot about being out in the elements and different types of landscapes. So I think that really set the stage for later on then learning how to hunt and fish.
Let's back up for one second. How do you get a job like that, first of all, and decide, yeah, I think I want to go live in Alaska. I want to leave the cornfields and go live in Alaska for a year.
Yeah, there are a lot of groups that are called conservation corps across the country. And Minnesota has one, Conservation Corps Minnesota. And there was one in Alaska that I had applied to, and that program you know, really the only requirement was you had a sense of adventure and you were willing, you know, to learn and be outdoors. So when I got up there, they trained us on trail building and chainsawing and, being, you know, being out in the elements and all of that. So you felt pretty prepared going into, the work that we were doing. And so that's how I got into it was, yeah, I got done with school and thought that sounds way better than any of the other entry level jobs I'm looking for. So why not?
And it was kind of an interesting crew that you ended up with up there.
It was. Like I said, we had people from across the country. So, you know, we had a guy that was a dancer from Alabama. We had someone who worked on the railroad in Illinois. We had an engineer from Minnesota. We had someone who had gone to school for journalism from Pennsylvania. So it was seven guys and three ladies. And at the outset, I wasn't sure how it was going to go. We took this really long trip from Anchorage all the way down to Juneau. And we had this kind of old van and the radio quit. And that first drive was pretty quiet and, you know, nobody really knew what to think of each other, but the longer we were outside together and the more we got to know each other, the more, you know, that group of people kind of becomes your family by the end of it. So it was a really great experience. And like I said, kind of set the stage for everything else that I've done since then.
More with Ashley Peters next on Sporting Journal Radio. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel broadcasting throughout the region, or at prairiesportsman.org.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today. The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network, here on this radio station, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com or by listening with your podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ashley Peters is our guest, communications manager for Audubon, Minnesota. As a woman who has been introduced to the outdoors, obviously you've done a lot in the outdoors already, but getting introduced to the hunting and fishing aspects, part of it, a lot of women talk about maybe being intimidated by it or sometimes having to go out there and do things with guys. And I wanted to talk about this. And then you brought up going to Alaska with seven guys and a couple of other women. Was there any moment where you're like, oh, there's a lot of guys here right now?
I don't know. I mean, I think when you're in it, you don't really think about it. It's more about, do our personalities mesh? You know, and most of the people that I was with, you know, they were really service minded and really just wanted to get outdoors. And, you know, as long as you can take a little bit of feedback and make a decent meal, usually it goes pretty well.
So what happened where you decided you wanted to get into hunting and fishing?
Well, it's a good question, because like I said, there were a lot of things that led up to it. Really, when it happened for me was I moved back to Minnesota about 3 years ago. And a lot of the folks that I had hung out with before, you know, rock climbers and kayakers and campers and stuff, a lot of them had gotten married and, you know, had kids or moved on or whatever. So I kind of had to rebuild my network when I got to Minnesota. And I thought, well, why not learn to hunt and keep on fishing? So that's, as soon as I started getting into it, I mean, it really kind of takes over, because there's so much opportunity and there's so many great people. So I've really enjoyed the past 3 years getting to know the whole community and a lot of people who care so deeply about conservation. So that aspect is really appealing to me, and I just love it and want to keep doing it.
What stands out is something that happened when you first started doing some of those activities that said, yeah, I really like this. I want to do it more.
Well, you know, I think some aspects are really intimidating, but one of the things was just kind of getting off the trail. I think when you do a lot of, you know, trail hiking or other kind of outdoor pursuits, a lot of times you kind of stick to the trail. And with hunting and even fishing, I found myself, you know, out in wide open prairies, and you're kind of high stepping through the tall grass. And, you know, with fishing, I was wading through streams, but that exploration is really exciting. And it's something that, you know, I had done when I was trail building, but then I hadn't done as much just kind of recreationally otherwise. So I just remember being in big open prairies and looking out and watching the sunset and just thinking I would come out and do this even if it was just for the scenery.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been moments where I've stood in a field like that or in the middle of woods wondering, and you know, there's been somebody else that's walked there, but you know that the number of footsteps is probably fairly limited, that 99% of the world's population has never been here and probably wouldn't want to be there. And I think that's what I enjoy about it so much.
Yeah. And there's like I said, the community is just amazing. I have met the most incredible women through hunting, and I love their sense of humor, and I love how thoughtful they are about what they're doing. And I just, you know, I think for me, it's a lot about connecting with the people as it is about looking for the game or being outdoors.
Ashley Peters, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. When you got into the hunting and fishing activities, did you take advantage of the bow program? Because you do a lot with bow, right? Becoming an outdoors woman with the DNR?
I've done a little bit, but not as much as I'd like to. They do have a lot of really great programs, though, and several of my friends do workshops with them. That's a great way to get in touch with a mentor or to just try to learn a new skill without much pressure. Just giving it a weekend or a day and seeing how you like it.
So did you, were you introduced with other women or just with some friends or part of some of the, you know, media events and things like that, or what got you out there?
Yeah. I mean, I came about 3 years ago from Louisiana and kind of had to rebuild this network. And so I just started attending different groups. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers was one of them. And Pheasants Forever is another one that I met people through. And just kind of these different groups. And even through Audubon, you know, I knew several people who hunted and just started getting involved and meeting people. And it seemed like there was always some opportunity coming up, somebody who was willing to show me around and tell me which public lands to look at. So that was really helpful.
Ashley Peters is our guest right now. She's a communications manager for Audubon, Minnesota. She's a conservationist. She started hunting and fishing a few years ago. And that's one thing that I want to talk about here right now on the radio show is you hear a lot of the increase of women in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and other outdoor activities. What advice would you give to women, or honestly, it could be for anybody, but women in particular that want to get more involved in hunting and fishing?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just, you know, having the interest and being patient with yourself. If somebody's interested, getting out there and being part of some groups that can introduce you to mentors, like we were talking about, the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program or, you know, other organizations. So when I was getting into it, I think something that I ran into was a lot of people had grown up with hunting and fishing, and there were certain assumptions that were made about what I did or didn't know related to especially hunting. And I think for somebody who's new to it, like I was, it took some moments of feeling kind of scared or nervous about things and then just pushing through and realizing that a lot of the people who have grown up with hunting and fishing have forgotten what it feels like to be out there for the first time. And so it can be exciting, but it also can be intimidating. But it's great once you really get into it and you have some good experiences. So I guess my advice would be, you know, be safe and, you know, stay legal, but just know that you'll learn a lot, especially from your mistakes, and to just go for it.
Yeah, not to be afraid to fail out there, I guess, as long as you're safe about it. So growing up in Iowa, Ashley, and then moving to Alaska, you then moved to, well, you had Minnesota and Louisiana in there. I want to talk about, and also what, Missouri? You did some time in Missouri too?
Like did it's, some like time, it's I prison. Suppose is the right way to put it.
Yeah. Missouri's an interesting state. You know, I lived in Missouri for a couple of years when I was a kid in Nevada, Missouri. I don't really remember too much about it, although we had a creek in the back that my parents wouldn't let me go back to when I was 3 years old because of the snakes. And I can do without the snakes. I'm okay with that. And then we spent time, we've guided down in southeast, down in the Boot Heel part of Missouri. And it's a completely different world down in the southeast part of Missouri as it is from, say, the northwest part. All right, we'll have more with Ashley Peters coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. We'll find out what part of Missouri she spent time in. Plus, we're going to ask her about kayaking with alligators in Louisiana, her first fly fishing experience in Alaska and what she caught, what drives her to promote conservation and public lands so much, why she's so passionate about it, and what it's like to work for an organization like Audubon, Minnesota, and also be a bird hunter, and how we can raise funds and get more people together to work together from the various sections of the outdoor world, how we can be more in sync with each other to promote common goals. So more with Ashley Peters coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. Don't forget to find us online, sportingjournalradio.com. Also on Facebook, Sporting Journal Radio. And hey, do you have Alexa? Ask Alexa to play Sporting Journal Radio. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller.
Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at prairiesportsman.org.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network. Our guest is Audubon, Minnesota Communications Manager Ashley Peters. Where did you spend time in Missouri?
I was in the northeast part. I went to college at Truman State, which is in Kirksville, Missouri. So I didn't get outdoors a whole lot in college. So it was a lot of maybe going to the local state park and running some trails. But I didn't get to see a ton of Missouri outside of, you know, the school and a couple of the cities.
You have such a great waterfowl state. You missed out.
Just saying.
But, you know, in Louisiana as well, what brought you down to Louisiana?
So Louisiana was actually where I started working for Audubon. I worked there for a couple of years, starting in 2013. And, you know, a little bit was I had been in Alaska and Minnesota before that, and the idea of going somewhere with a lot of warm sunshine was pretty appealing at the time. But honestly, it was mostly because I was working for Audubon and excited to be part of that organization and focus a lot more on, you know, some of the science and policy and education aspects of conservation.
Tell us about kayaking through the swamps of Louisiana.
I got out a lot with some ladies who were, most of them were retired actually, but they seemed to be pretty adventurous and pretty excited to get out and had lots of spare time. So they, you know, took me along with them out kayaking in the back swamps of Louisiana. And it was a little scary at first. You worry about the alligators, but once I got out there and you realize that you just pay attention and you respect their space, most of the time you're good. So it's beautiful, all those big cypress trees, and the bird life down there is incredible. Even people who don't consider themselves bird watchers, you know, go out to see the roseate spoonbills and the black-crowned night herons and all these other incredible birds that you can see there.
Did you see a lot of alligators?
I did. I found out that usually you can tell how big one was based on the size of the head. So that was always what I kept my eye on, because usually you don't see the full body.
Right.
You just kind of see the eyes. So we did have one run in. We were kayaking at a place called Lake Martin. That's near Lafayette. We made the mistake of getting into a little back corner we cornered an alligator, and it rolled and slapped somebody's kayak and came up and made sure to follow me out of that little section that we were in. So I don't think I've ever paddled so fast in my life.
Ashley Peters, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Back to Alaska for 1 second. Give me one story. What's your favorite? When people ask about your time in Alaska, what's your favorite story that you tell people about something that happened up there?
You know, just being out in the woods in Southeast Alaska, there are these huge trees and lots of Spanish moss, and you can see whales, you know, out in the water, and you do run into bears. And so I just fell in love with the landscape more than anything. And I tried fly fishing for the first time, the last time that I lived there. And I accidentally caught a sculpin, and it was one of the first times, I think it was actually the first time I've ever fly fished. And so I was not super happy to see it. It wasn't this beautiful salmon that I was hoping to catch. There was kind of a stare off, but eventually I got it off the hook, and I was able to catch other, you know, prettier fish, but that one stands out.
Working with a number of conservation organizations, what made you so passionate about conservation?
You know, some days I think I want to just go live in the woods and just, you know, just take off and be out there and, you know, maybe not have to deal with people as much. But
I say that every day.
But at the same time, you know, those places exist because we fought for them. It's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to have lands to explore and beautiful places to visit. So I feel like it's really important to voice, you know, my support for those, you know, public lands and all the spaces that we think of when we think of good hunting and fishing spots.
Tell us what your job is right now and what you do for it.
So I work for Audubon Minnesota, and I manage the communications for the state office. And we do a lot of work related to the Upper Mississippi River. So we have a lot of restoration events along the river in the floodplain forests, which those areas are really important to birds like wood ducks and cerulean warblers. And so we restore those areas as well as, you know, up in northwest Minnesota. And we work to get native plants in the ground in the cities. So we have a pretty wide spectrum of projects.
And working for somebody like Audubon, you deal with a segment of the outdoor world. So like the outdoor world is splintered, and there seems to be a big divide between like the non-consumptive users and the people that are out there hunting and fishing. And sometimes they get along, sometimes they don't always get along. Being somebody that hunts and fishes and also works for Audubon, do you hear from some people at times that say, gosh, how can you go out and shoot those birds and things like that?
I think it's a natural thing to think about, you know, how are you a hunter and also interested in saving birds? But I think usually it comes from a general lack of awareness. You know, honestly, if I get those questions, usually I just listen. It's not always about me. It's not always about hunting. A lot of people just don't know, you know, hunters or anglers. And if they do, they may have had a bad experience. So I think you can outweigh some of the negative perceptions just by being a good person and talking about conservation. And also looking for the commonalities, right? So food is a great thing to focus on, you know, asking them if they've tried wild game or if they forage for mushrooms or if they, you know, even things like gardening are places where you can start the conversation and recognize more what you have in common and then can build from there.
Well, there's no question that those two groups need to find a way to get along. And I know you were at the DNR roundtable this year. I was there. And this year, the big talk, I think, was raising funds for conservation. That was one of the big common themes that I heard throughout the day at the roundtable this year. And one of the discussion, and this has been a discussion point for a number of years between these two groups, is that hunters and fishermen contribute with license fees and federal duck stamps and a lot of money that it's almost like a user fee. A lot of their money to buy these licenses goes into conservation, whereas some of the other aspects don't necessarily pay for some of those things. Are there some ways out there that they're raising money? And I mean, obviously there's some conservation programs out there for people that aren't out there hunting and fishing, but is there ways that we can come together a little bit and find more ways to raise some money?
I think there's a whole group of people asking the same question. And I know I've had a lot of conversations with folks, you know, who are, I suppose, thought of as more, you know, traditional environmentalist groups. And everybody is talking about it. Everybody understands that it's a really big deal. And I think, you know, public lands are one way that we can, you know, think harder about how do we bring people together and, you know, find a place that we can all start pitching in. So I think it's to be seen, but I know that we're all talking about it and thinking about it, and it's going to take a little bit of time to figure out the solution. But yeah, there's certainly a great interest in knowing how to address that, you know, the decline in hunting and fishing and how to make up for some of the conservation funding that exists from that.
I'm glad you brought up public lands. This is a perfect segue, as we call it in the business, for my next question. Ashley Peters, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Public Lands Day. This is starting to happen more and more. I've seen it more, and I don't know if I can attribute it to the work of the backcountry hunters and anglers guys, or if it's been going on. But it seems like they've kind of spearheaded this a little bit. I know Pheasants Forever is a big part of it as well. But these are starting to be big rallies at the capitals around the country, aren't they?
That's very true. I know Montana just had one, and I think they said 1,600 people showed up to the Capitol for wow. theirs. And I've been working with backcountry hunters and anglers for a couple of years now, and several of the other sponsors, you know, Ducks Unlimited, and like you mentioned, Pheasants Forever, Rough Grouse Society. It's a really great way to start, you know, pulling everybody together, because, you know, we really need everyone who's interested in public lands and the outdoors to pull together, because, you know, there's a lot of other interests out there, and we just need to make sure that we all are voicing our support for kind of the foundation of our outdoor economy in Minnesota.
Birds and beers. Sounds like a good time to me. tell our listeners what Birds and Beers is.
Birds and Beers is a monthly event that I put on, and I just post onto Facebook and let people know that we're having this group, and it's really casual. It's for anybody who's even curious about birds. I recruited a few fly fishing friends to come and show up, even though they thought they didn't care about birds. And it's meant to be something, just a place where you can have a conversation and not feel too obligated. I know people have voiced, interest in coming to things like Audubon meetings, but it feels like a little too much in the beginning. So it's just a great place to get to know people who know the birds in the state and know some good outdoor spots and, you know, talk about other things that you're doing.
And where can we find out more information about that?
You can go to Facebook and search for Birds and Beers St. Paul and click like.
And you do this monthly?
I do.
Very cool. All right, Birds and Beers St. Paul on Facebook. Ashley Peters, Communications Manager for Audubon Minnesota. Some pretty cool stories. You've had some pretty neat experiences, and I appreciate you sharing them with us here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.